listening to 805. Ventura
Highway. Representing for everyone in the 805.
It's all about the 805.
From the very best of Ventura County, it's Tom and Sandy's 805. Now, back to Tom and Sandy.
Welcome back. It's Tom and Sandy's 805 on KVTA 1590. Don't forget to check out TomandSandy805.com.
And one of our favorites on there is 90215. And boy, you know what?
That's what I should have had all week.
Doggone it. You're 100% right. You should have had that soup.
I'm going to have to go get that today.
Yeah, yeah. That soup, that pho soup is absolutely to die for. I got to tell you. They're at 309.
It's the best ever. It's clean. It's so good for you. And then sometimes they put those jalapenos in there just to spice it up.
I love those. Well, you can put all your own stuff in there. That's what's really cool. You know, they give you all the stuff and you can make it as spicy as you want.
You make it your own.
Yeah, you make it your own. But the pho soup, but the spring rolls. They have a great beer and wine selection. They're 30990 Russell Ranch Road, 90215. It looks like pho, but it's not. It's pho. Check them out. I'm telling you, if you've never had pho soup or you've never had a Vietnamese French fusion cooking, it's well worth going.
Right, I
mean, they really are that good. This segment is brought to you by.
Nope, it is not brought to you by, but it is every week brought to you by Mogul and their partnership with Ventura County Credit Union and Food Share.
Yeah.
Every individual who signs up with their service gets 10% cash back on the restaurants that they're dining at most frequently. And for every $20 at those restaurants that get spent, a meal gets donated to Food Share.
See, that's neat. That's the way you can donate without donating.
Without even feeling
it. Yeah, you don't even think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so.
And once a month, a little deposit goes into your account showing the savings you've received. And you know you've done good through that process as well. Go to vccu.mogl.com and sign up with that Mogul service. Use referral code Food Share.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Today, as Ann mentioned, she kind of tossed in the New Year's resolution piece.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of those have been broken already.
I haven't broken mine yet.
No, she hasn't.
I'm impressed. I was speechless for a second because I for sure thought you'd be one of the people who, within the first week, killed their New Year's resolution, broke it inadvertently, you know, deviated from it, whatever excuse they want to give. And for that reason, today,
so you're kind of saying that Sandy is spineless? Is that
no,
what,
not
I mean,
spineless.
Is that, that's kind of how I'm reading what you just said. I take offense to that.
I would say, based on today's topic, she has a tendency to give in to urges.
I do.
And one of those
kidding.
One of those urges, which I found out early on, any way I could get out of the doghouse would be through
chocolate.
So today we want to talk a little bit about chocolate. And I want to give just some basic facts because I think people aren't really aware of how chocolate's made. It actually is from a bean. So very similar to coffee. It starts out in a bean in a pod form. Those cacao pods are harvested by hand. And those pods are actually cut open right away in the fields and their pulp is ripped out with the beans intact in the pulp. So it's kind of a white fleshy pulp and the beans are in there.
Okay.
They scoop out all the pulp in the beans and they throw it into a pile together or into a box that has little slits and holes in it. And they allow the pulp and those beans to ferment, actually. There's a fermentation very similar to, you know, adult beverages and that, where the yeast and the acids that are working on the pods and in the pulp actually ferment the beans down a little bit and the sugars are converted to a slight bit of alcohol.
But I didn't also, know that. That's how it was made.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because what that also does, though, is it allows the liquids from the bean to drip out.
Okay.
So as it's fermenting, it creates acid and liquid, and that drips away. Then they take those existing pods and beans, and they dry them, typically in the sun, and they allow them to dry to about 6 to 7% moisture. So that's, you know, really close to what we're doing with coffee beans as well, letting those beans dry out, and then they get roasted. The dried out cacao beans can then be ground up and pulverized or kind of cracked into what's considered the cacao nibs.
So when you have like dark chocolate, that's just pure chocolate. And then you add like milk to milk chocolate. Is that
correct? And the intermediary step for that is you got your cacao nibs, which are, you know,
nibs,
which is almost that pure cocoa butter and cocoa liquid.
Right, right.
Once that, those little pieces are then ground up. They can be mashed and ground into a finer powder or pressed, and you end up getting the cocoa butter and the cocoa liquor. So when you're really hydraulically pressing those and basically mashing it, kind of like you do with peanut butter,
sure,
that liquor is the basis for all chocolate. It can then be pressed even further to separate the powder portion from the butter and the fat.
Yeah, now when you have really dark chocolate, I mean that, and it gives you a percentage, you know, it'll say like 95% or something, whatever that is. It's almost like wax, you know, it's a waxy texture to it.
It is, and some of that comes from the tempering. So when tempering is a way to basically set the chocolate. Okay. And there's, you know, different practices and techniques based on the individual chocolate manufacturers or what their temperature is for their tempering. Mm-hmm. But it's about bringing the chocolate up to a certain temperature and slowly holding it at that temperature and then forming it into your molds or what have you. And that helps set both the firmness and texture, but also the stability of it in terms of melting. The higher the percentage means the higher the cocoa, the cacao base. So,
right.
Sandy, you mentioned about the milk and the sugars not being added. And the more milk and sugar and additional ingredients, the lower the percentage of dark chocolate you're going to have.
Right, because when I've had the real dark chocolate, I really haven't liked it that much.
You know,
white chocolate I love. If I taste white chocolate, why is that?
Should we tell him?
Tell him.
White chocolate isn't chocolate. It's actually cream and milk and sugars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's no cocoa.
There's no cocoa in it at all?
No cacao base.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
No wonder I like it.
But
I don't like chocolate that much.
What you can find, though, Tom, I think to your point about the bitter, the higher percentage, a lot of people are turned off by it because there's a certain level of bitterness. Cacao nibs and cacao beans by themselves are quite bitter and astringent. But then also you can, once they've formed it and they've added some of their ingredients as a company, there's a little bit of a sourness too. You get, you know, the higher the chocolate percentage, ideally it's going to be smooth. If it's harsh or it's grainy, then even the dark chocolate or a mid-range, like a 50 to 60% chocolate is going to be gross. But even at the higher, I've had a 99% bar that was very smooth, but kind of like a porter or a stout, Tom, in terms of beer, you get a little hiding or a little underneath sourness in the finish.
Right.
You're like, oh, wait a minute. So you get some dark, roasty, smoky bits up front. You get a little bit of a bitterness, and then there's a sour in the finish.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's why I don't like it as much.
So you brought these beautiful, beautiful chocolates.
I've got a great chocolatier just down the block from where I live, and it's Truffle Hounds right on Main Street in Ventura. Claudia Gilman's the owner. They've been there 18 years. I didn't realize they'd been there that long until I talked to her yesterday. She brought in a 10-piece of her truffle assortment. And what's cool about the truffles she does is it's right there. I mean, you look over the counter. She's got her tempering bowl. They hold it at 105 degrees. They're making all the chocolates right in front of you. You can see what's going on. One of the things to mention as well, she's not doing all the grinding and roasting and creating the cocoa butter and the liquor in the house. Most of that is done at a large facility, and then that gets kind of contracted out. So you find a great supplier of chocolate that you like, and you can melt that back down and temper it in a bowl and use that to your liking.
They're so pretty, I have to tell you.
Did a nice job there. We'll post it on Facebook. I just took a picture.
Yeah, and the truffles are typically in artistic form, too. They always have the little designs and little colors. They're getting really creative with some of the ingredients they put in. You know, we've got salts and spices and bacon and all kinds of
stuff.
That's
sea salt with caramel.
Oh, yeah, that's good. No,
no. Oh, my gosh, that's to die for.
There's a place up in Pismo. No, it's in Cayucas, which is above Pismo, right? And you're heading, in fact, it's above Morro Bay. And in Cayucas?
Okay. I think it's above Morro Bay.
Yeah, right above Morro Bay as you're heading to Cambria. Okay. And there's a store in there. It's a cookie store. And they do these cookies that are like chocolate and sea salt cookies. Oh, I mean, it's like, if you lived there, you'd have to do a 12-step program to stay out of there because, I mean, you would just gain weight. It's so good, you can't put them down. You just keep putting them in your mouth.
And you're getting a great segue in terms of how men and women deem flavors, too. I was reading one of the studies online, and it says when men crave food, they typically crave salts and fats, whereas women crave sweets and chocolates. Hmm.
So yeah, I think that's true.
That sea salt caramel, you're going to get both of those worlds colliding, just like in real life.
So I could be a woman.
It's
or
that
a man.
Venus.
Here we go again.
Mars.
There you go. It depends on your preference that day.
What was that show? What was that show we were talking about where people were changing, metamorphing?
Metamorphosis?
Yeah, remember that? Where the fish is born as a man and it turns into a woman.
Yeah.
I don't think fish eat chocolate, though.
Hermaphrodites.
Hermaphrodites.
Hermaphrodites. So they would like that.
You know, and Americans, unlike fish, consume a little more than 10 pounds of chocolate every year. So if you think about a block of chocolate, that's a lot of consumption.
It is a lot.
It doesn't sound like a lot, but if you were to visualize a 10-pound brick in front of you, a lot of chocolate.
Ooh.
I also really am fond of the Vosges brand. Vosges is out of Chicago. V-O-S-G-E-S.
I've seen that. Yeah.
And Katrina, their founder and CEO, has a very particular way that she thinks chocolate should be eaten. One, the first thing is she said to be present. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, and kind of quiet your mind. You should see the shine and the color on the truffle's round shape, just like we have in front of us. You should be able to touch that chocolate. You know, what's the texture? What's it feel like in your hand? Smell it. And that's a big piece. We talk about that with any of our foods. Smelling is a larger portion of eating than actually in the mouth and on the palate. The amount of olfactory information you get through an aroma is powerful. It tells you all about that
food.
Oh,
sure it does. Yeah.
And then she wants you to snap it. So, like, these are round truffles. So you're not necessarily going to snap in terms of breaking with your hands. You can do that with a bar. Mm-hmm. But even when you bite into it, a good tempered chocolate, depending on the temperature in the room where you're eating, should have a little snap to it. You should be able to get, like, a little pop. Taste it, and that, you know, work it in all your different palate zones, because you're going to get different things. We were talking about the salt. We got the sweet. We got bitter. You work that around your mouth. That chocolate's going to give you all different kinds of nuances. And then kind of reflect and evaluate. What does it taste like to you? How does it make you feel? And with all these crazy ingredients nowadays, you have a lot of flexibility and diversity with the experience you're going to have.
Yeah.
I know I like coconut and chocolate because I like Mounds bars.
Oh, you do?
Always did like Mounds bars. I haven't had one in years.
I don't like Mounds because of the amount of coconut, but it's a good combination. You're getting a little bit of that sweetness from the coconut. You get a little bit of the kind of sour aspect as well, and they put it with some sweeter chocolate. A dark chocolate's good for that too, though, because it highlights some of the bitter and the sour notes of the dark with the coconut.
Hang with us right now, okay, because I think we have a caller on the phone there. Kevin Rock, are you with us? I can barely hear you there. No, you know what? You know what? We have a bad connection. I can't even hear you at all there, buddy. So, yeah, call back in. Okay.
We have to get him some breakfast and a little oomph. Give him some coffee.
Yeah, he needs some chocolate.
Oomph. It's too early out there in Minnesota.
No. First of all, he's not in Minnesota. He's in San Antonio, which is totally different. And second of all, they're 2 hours ahead of us. He thinks it's early, it's 7:45 here. It's 9:45 in San Antonio.
Oh, if he thinks it's early, he had a really long night.
He did have a long night. Okay, continue with the chocolate.
Cool. Tom, I got an interesting fact I found for you.
I'll just let Spence know. He had to call back in. Spence, we couldn't hear anything he was saying.
Well, he wasn't on because I wasn't here.
That's what it is.
You answer
the phone. That's him again.
It's amazing.
Oh my god.
Wow. Where'd you go?
Well, you have guests coming in and
there's
nobody at the door.
Wow. See, that should have never been live.
No. See, that's
that makes for good radio.
Okay, now do we have him on the phone now? Do I hear him? Yeah, here he is.
I'm here.
Here comes some music.
That was great, Tom.
I knew there was a need for Spence. I was just trying to figure it out. There we go.
Sandy's happy about the long intro music because she just ate about four pieces.
Did you eat some of that chocolate?
At least four.
Right now? Oh, my goodness. Kevin Rock down there in San Antonio. Now, we finally have you on the radio here, Kevin, because I wasn't paying attention. I didn't realize Spence had left the room even, and all of a sudden, let's listen to Kevin. You were gone. What's happening?
You know, all kind of good stuff is happening. How y'all doing back there?
We're doing good. I see you're already speaking with a southern accent. You've only been there for one day.
Just like that, I am.
One day you've been there.
Don't take long down here, trust me.
Boy, you still have a strange connection. It sounds like you're in a can or something.
Ah, man, this is cutting in and out a little bit. Why does Spence come through clear as a bell and then you're cutting in and out?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, there you are. You sound real good there.
Oh, well, give it a try. We'll see if we can pay attention to you. If we can't understand you, we'll have to let you go. So what's happening?
Well, let's talk about a couple of really cool shows going on this weekend. One tonight at Camarillo Rock, the Rock City Studios. If you're familiar with that, it's a pretty cool place there at Camarillo. They do a lot of stuff for the kids. It's a great little venue where the kids can go in and practice, and they can play, and they put shows on. And they've got one tonight with a local band called Galvanized Souls, and they're doing a little benefit for Save Our Kids Music, which helps fund the music programs there in the Pleasant Valley School District. So, and I'm always about finding something that's going to help the kids keep playing music. So.
Yeah, that goes without saying. That's always good.
And then tomorrow at Bombay, the vocal band Tommy Marsh and Bad Dog. And for any blues fans in the area, they know Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy's going to be in here in the 8 o'clock hour. In fact, he's out in the studio right now.
Oh, well.
He'll be.
How's that? I'm in tune, huh?
Yeah, you're right in tune. Unfortunately, it doesn't sound like it.
What he's got going on, because it's a good deal. You don't want to miss that. That's tomorrow at Bombay. We'll let Tommy tell you more about that. A couple other shows coming up. Jumash, we did some giveaways for the Fab Four. They're going to be there this Thursday. And then the following Thursday on the 23rd, Christopher Cross is going to be there. This Friday at the Canyon, Robbie Krieger from The Doors is going to be playing. He's got a new band called Jam Kitchen.
And where's he playing?
Some guys that used to play with Frank Zappa, a whole bunch of great players.
Yeah.
That might be kind of interesting if you're a Doors fan.
Hey, you know what, Kevin? I got to be honest with you. We're going to have to let you go because the signal coming in is absolutely terrible.
Well, you know what? And I apologize. Y'all have a great day.
You too. And we'll talk to you this week, okay?
Absolutely. We'll figure out how to make this work.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
All right.
Well, that was interesting.
We'll have to give all the way around in a different way.
Could I just say the last 10 minutes of radio, could we just get rid of it? First of all, I messed up with Spence not in the room. Second of all, we couldn't hear that. That was not real good. So it's really up to you, Jason, to save us.
We'll use it as today's focus group.
And even his mic was off this time. We're all messed up. Here we go.
I'll just leave everything on for
We'll blame it on the winter storms back in Indiana.
There you go.
One of the things I was going to tell you that I thought you'd find interesting, Tom, I came across this fact. The Alfred Hitchcock movie Psycho,
mm-hmm.
chocolate syrup was actually used to simulate blood in the shower scene. For the viscosity and the sheen and the way they were able to...
And
with a black and white movie, you don't have to worry about the color. You know, so you get that same dark, rich kind of blood feel and vibe. But
and
you
that
don't have
consistency.
To worry. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the way it runs. We want to talk real quick, Sandy, about those truffles, though. Claudia really does some interesting centers and some interesting ingredients to go in her truffles as well. They've had a cheese base, like a Chèvre cheese on one of them that she's going to be bringing back after Valentine's. Really cool.
Yum.
She has some passion fruit depending on season, trying to work with seasonal ingredients. The ones that are coming out right now, she's kind of working on her baseline, which includes the ganache and the rum and the hazelnut and that. But that's partly because they're really ramping up for Valentine's Day already. So Valentine's Day is more than a month away. It's like, 5 or 6 weeks?
Yeah.
She's already starting to build her inventory to accommodate that day. She was telling me that the very first year they opened Valentine's Day, they made 12 hearts, and because they didn't think they'd get a lot of exposure. She opened in the very beginning of January that year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was only like 5 weeks till Valentine's. She's like, you know, people aren't going to know about us yet. We'll be ready. But she said they were slammed because they're a new kid on the block, and everybody wanted to get in and see what Truffle Hounds is about. 18 years later, still going strong. They were in doing foil-wrapped hearts yesterday, and that's a really cool process. You know, when you're dealing with the molded chocolates, they've got a plastic tray, and they actually work the tray around so that the chocolate coats that mold evenly before they put any filling or any backing on it. So you want to make sure there's no air bubbles and stuff in it.
Hmm.
You can do it with candy molds at home. You can get some melting chocolate discs, do it on your stovetop, make your own molded chocolates for festivities. We do that a lot for, like, the kids' birthdays when we go down to see my in-laws. It's a fun time to... You know, see what the kids can do with their own decorating skills. Different colors of chocolate, like you were mentioning, the white chocolate, Tom. Mm-hmm. That's often used as a base with food coloring added to create all those different, like on a bunny, all the little eyes and noses and whatnot.
Okay, yeah.
So it's just white chocolate with coloring that you can paint into the mold before you add the rest of the chocolate behind it.
I wonder what percentage of her business is based on Valentine's Day.
I can find out. That'd be interesting.
That's got to be a huge chunk, I would think, because if there's one day you're going to buy chocolates, it's Valentine's
Especially
Day.
Especially for us last-minuteers. You know, the chocolate is a quick go-to. Chocolate and flowers.
See, oh, yeah.
I need chocolate, but flowers, I'd rather have you be creative and do something different.
And I think a lot of women appreciate that. But
saying.
The chocolate is it's a safe bet. As you mentioned, it gets people out of the doghouse
exactly.
in your world.
Exactly.
And I think part of that is because there's a calming and a euphoric kind of a feeling that comes with chocolate. You know,
mm-hmm.
that first bite, that punch of sweetness and the sugary component, but also just the contents of the chocolate. There's actually a little more than a decaf cup's worth of caffeine And chocolate?
Yeah, I was just going to say, chocolate has caffeine in it.
Exactly.
So it's not just a sugar rush. You're actually getting caffeine that's pumping you up.
There's a little trace of caffeine, and 1 ounce of milk chocolate has a little bit more caffeine than the amount of caffeine in the decaf cup.
What about cocaine? Didn't it originally have cocaine in it? Because I know Coca-Cola, the original Coca-Colas, actually had trace of cocaine in it, and they were able to extract it, I guess, over time.
I'm not sure about cocaine in the chocolate. Yeah. I'd have to do a little more research on that one.
No, I'm just saying, originally.
It has been traced back to ancient Aztec civilizations as well as kind of where the origins of chocolate were found. They were using these ground cacao beans and the nib, and they're pulverizing it and melting it into their drink. So it's a drinking chocolate.
Huh.
Kind of like what
coffee.
Kind of like coffee.
Right.
People would think hot chocolate or cocoa, and that's not true. It's actually going to be thicker and more viscous. You can buy drinking chocolate bars nowadays, and you literally just melt it in your cup, like in the microwave, or slow melt it on the stove, and it's melted. It's liquid chocolate.
Yum.
It's delicious, though. It's warm and soothing, and it's great for a rainy day.
I love you share it. With I could partners. Take a bath in chocolate. You, oh, it's so good.
It's interesting you say that, because the cocoa butter that's extracted actually is used in cosmetics and medicines. And there are a lot of spas now that are doing chocolate wraps and washes, just like you do a mud wrap. So the exfoliation and the...
See, now I'm making that face.
The calming aroma. You are making the
face.
Yeah,
I'm making that face. I don't want to lay in a thing of chocolate.
You're not a woman.
Well, thank God.
Hey, so you brought...
that's what you got to do to be a woman. I'm not there.
We want to get some people to try these chocolates, though.
I was going to say, you brought a couple extra boxes, and before you give them away, I'm going to eat them.
Yeah, you better grab those.
I'm going to slide these to the other side of the table.
She's like a spider. It's just going to reach out and grab it here.
They're a beautiful 10-piece teaser pack, though, so it's got a nice variety of the truffles that Claudia offers at Truffle Hounds.
Yeah.
And they're at 607 East Main Street, if you want to stop by, right there in the little shopping strip, Upper Main Street. And you can also find out more about them at TruffleHoundsFineChocolates.com. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, not on Monday, because usually the weekends are busy for her, and so you want to take a little day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to go get some chocolates, they have some really cool stuff. They got the coconut haystacks. You get your pecan, like, turtles with the caramel, all these beautiful truffles. She does some sugar-free and, the diabetic line of chocolates as well. They're actually pretty good. I've had some pieces from that line. You still get some sweetness, but you're not getting that punch of sugar that a diabetic can't deal with. So get in there and try them out. We have two boxes, two 10-piece variety packs today. I call them the teaser pack.
They're really neat looking.
Are you going to post it on Facebook?
I will.
Okay, good.
I've been busy answering the door. Where is everybody today?
I thought you had your little cap on, little Velma cap.
This place was empty. Normally we have a big herd out there and everything else.
It's flu season.
It's flu season.
Well, there's no better, least emotional remedy for flu than chocolate.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this is my medicine.
So you're already better. as you eat, those will be gone by the end of this show.
They will be.
How many calories you think are in that?
I don't know, Jason.
I'm not going to ask. I think Claudia would be offended if we asked about calories.
I think so, too.
I bet there's 2,000 calories in that little
and
box.
And worth every bite, Tom. Worth every bite. I always go in and I get a couple of the honeycombs, too. She brings in the seafoam. It reminds you of honeycomb on the inside. It's got a sweet honey flavor and color.
Yeah.
And it's wrapped in chocolate.
Ooh,
I love that.
Yum.
Because of the way it melts and crunches. But Brie is a haystack girl. My wife, she loves the coconut. And you can watch Claudia and her team drenching those haystacks on a regular basis right
like
in the
that,
shop.
Tom.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like a Mounds bar.
Yeah, but it is a little mound. It's not in a bar form.
Yeah.
It's just a pile of coconut that they drench in their beautiful silky chocolate.
I love coconut. Coconut's good stuff.
Everything that you've
and
talked
as soon as you
about
walk in the
good.
Door at that shop, it hits you, the aroma, the sweetness. And again, you're watching their staff work right behind the counter, so you're seeing everything. Total transparency, and it's a great process.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to take caller number for these two
boxes. What do you want to do? Caller number. You got two of them?
Two of them.
Well, let's do caller number 10 and 15.
You got it.
All right. Hey,
Thanks, Jason.
I didn't mention earlier, if you're having a hard time hearing the show, you can live stream us right there. Go to Facebook, Tom and Sandy 805 on Facebook, and you'll see right to the right there, it's what, a red? It's bright red, right?
It says past and live shows. You click it, and
boom, you hit it, go in, and you can listen to this on your computer or on your phone.
Now, people can also read your blogs on Everybody's Hungry website, right?
That's correct. Everybody'sHungry.org. We're also on all the major social media platforms. We're really trying to bring awareness and fun education about food and beverage, and then give a little bit of help back to the community through our partnership with FoodShare.
Outstanding.
Perfect. Awesome.
Better get back there and answer those phones, man. They're ringing away.
You've been listening to the Everybody's Hungry segment on Tom and Sandy's 805. Follow us at Everybody'sHungry.org, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+.